Okay, what I want to do this morning is I want to talk about the Bible, talk about what the Bible is, talk about Bible study, because if any of us wants to be mature Christians, we're going to have to gain a knowledge of the Scriptures. Okay, now, just in your own words, tell me what you think the Bible is. What is the Bible? Okay, it says revelation. That's the important thing that we need to know. The Bible is a very unique book. It's interesting that it has all kinds of different types of styles, literature. There's prose in there, there's stories in there, there's all types of ways of telling about God. But the main thing is that it's God's way of revealing His will to mankind. Okay, so how can we mature as far as our Christianity is concerned if we don't know and understand what God's will for us is? Exactly. It'd be like that old fish out of the water just flopping around, right, not knowing where we're going. Okay, so it's critical and it's important then that we have an understanding of what the Bible has to say with it, because God is not only revealing Himself to us, He is revealing His will for us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17, that's a familiar passage that we quote all the time. You'll hear it thousands of times during the year when people are preaching from the pulpit. Okay, someone read that for me. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. Go ahead, who's got it?
Instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Okay, so that simply says all Scripture. Okay, and how did we get it? By divine inspiration. Okay, so it's God's will. He basically dictated to those writers what they needed to put down for us. Okay, and He says not only that, but it is profitable for doctrine,
reproof,
correction,
instruction
in righteousness. Okay, so that's where it comes from. Okay, that's what it's all about. Okay, now there's a passage over in Jeremiah. It's chapter 10 and verse 3 that I think is very, very interesting. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 3. Someone want to read that? Yes, 10 and verse 3.
3?
Yes. I think that's what I said. I'm going to check myself. Chapter 10, verse 3. Yes. No, 3. Chapter 10, verse 3. Chapter 10, verse 3. 3. You got it? Okay, hold a minute. I missed the one. 31. This is the first time I've ever done this. 31, yeah. I didn't see the one. There. Okay, 31.
There's not a 10:31.
Got to be. All right. I'm going to have to pay more attention. Let me go over and look. It's the one where it says it's not within man's ability to direct his own step, huh?
23.
How in the world did I get 31 out of that? Okay, read it.
23.
Okay, what did he just say there? What did he say? It's not within man's capability to direct his steps in order to be righteous. Okay, now we can direct our own steps, but what are we going to direct them to? We're going to do it towards evil every time. Because, yeah, we're going to do what we want to do. Because let's face it, human beings are selfish. Okay? We're stingy, we're greedy, okay? Basically, that's our nature. You know, it's me, me, me. And so we need someone with a better knowledge, someone with more righteousness to direct our steps to tell us what to do. Okay? Now, think about this. When you were a child, okay, and there's three kids and one toy, what is your natural instinct?
Mine.
Yeah, mine. Okay. That's just the natural way for human beings to act. Okay? Or if mama's got a jar of cookies there, you know, and you want a cookie, what do you do? Give me. And boy, the kids nowadays, you better give it to me, I'm going to call the police. You know, that's how bad we've gotten, you know. That's what it boils down to. It's all about me. Okay? So we need some instruction to tell us what is the proper way to deal with our affairs. Okay? Go over to Psalms 119, 105. Hopefully I wrote it down correctly this time. 119, 105. In fact, read 104 and 105.
Through your precepts, I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Okay. So what do we learn from that? Okay. By God's word, okay, we get our understanding. We would not know what God was like if he did not tell us, because it's impossible for us to know that. There's an interesting passage over in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. Okay, and I'll go ahead and read. I got it right in front of me. It says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I reject you from being a priest to me." Okay, so that's how important that God deems us in our knowledge concerning him, okay, and the way that he would have us to live, okay? And that's what the Bible is. The Bible is his revealed will for us, okay? So how important then is it for me to have some kind of a structured study of the Bible? How important is that? It's absolutely critical, okay? It's critical for me to do that. And that's what we want to talk a little bit about this morning. Peter says over in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, he talks about the Bible as being milk for the soul, okay? Now he's talking to new Christians there, and so when we're speaking to new Christians and the idea of milk, what are we talking about? Babes in Christ, okay? And when you have a baby, you don't feed them steak, do you? No, you feed them milk. But by over time, okay, there comes a time when people are supposed to mature enough that we take them off the milk and we give them solid food. That's what the Hebrew writer said over in Hebrews chapter 5. Let's see where I wrote it down. Chapter 5, verse 11 through 14. Okay? So he says, there comes a time in life when you need to get off the milk and get to the meat. Unfortunately, too many times people never go beyond the milk stage. Okay? And we treat our Bibles much like we would a newspaper. We sit down and read the headlines, you know, but then we don't read the story. Okay, we just kind of peruse through it. And that basically consists of our Bible study. And it needs to be more in-depth than that. Okay, so let's just face it. Without that, you're not going to grow. You're not going to mature. So in order to grow and mature, a good Bible study is absolutely necessary. Okay? I had a little track. I should have looked it up. I don't know. It was written years ago. I've had it forever. And it was it entitled something like Someone Who Never Heard of the Bible. And it was kind of a theoretical type story. And the guy in his direction there said, suppose you found someone who never heard of the Bible, never even heard of it, okay? And you give to them a copy of the Old Testament. And you ask them to read that, and once they read it, to come back and give their response to you. Okay, so you give them some time to read it, And then they come back and you ask them, well, what did you think? You know, well, they might tell you something like, boy, very interesting. A lot of good stories in there. It talks about, God creating the world and everything. But it's not complete. There's something lacking. You know, they talked about Messiah like or a prophet like Moses who was supposed to come, and he didn't come, and talked about how God was going to take the written word and plant it in people's heart. He said, I didn't see that happening. You say, glad you mentioned that. Let me give you this copy of the New Testament, okay? And you take that and read that and then come back and make your response to me. So what we're saying is that the New Testament completes the Old Testament, okay? We're told that the Old Testament is in Paul's word of what? Anybody remember? What is the Old Testament? It's a tutor or a schoolmaster that brings us to Christ, okay? And what that basically means is all those stories from the creation forward, even including the creation actually, really, are pointing towards Christ. Because of the sin that came into the world, something had to be done, and so God made the plan that Christ was going to come and pay that penalty. And so all of the Old Testament points towards Christ. Everything that was done in the Old Testament was done in order to preserve a seed line, okay, the seed line of Abraham, because that is the seed line through which God was going to bring Christ into the world, okay? And so you're basically following the story of that nation, that seed line, all the way down to Christ, okay? Now, after Christ comes into the world, that obligation of that seed line is no longer necessary, and we're not taking the seed line and cutting it off. That's not what we're doing. But their role as the seed line is now finished, okay? And people today like to place a great importance upon the Jewish nation. Well, we respect the Jewish nation because of the role they played, but that's the end of it, okay? We're not looking for anything future as far as the seed line is concerned, okay? And we'll read about that in the Scriptures as far as that's concerned. All right, so I'm going to give some suggestions here in a minute, and these are not all the suggestions there are of ways that we can maybe set up a study plan by which we can study the Bible, okay? And there are more ways than what I'm going to give you. Everyone has their own personal way. But before we do that, we need to mention some basic truths or convictions about the Bible before we even start studying about the Bible, okay? And the first thing we need to mention is the fact that the Bible is a perfect revelation. Okay, now what do we mean by that? Yeah, it's complete. Okay, it's complete. There are no more revelations to come. Okay, so when we study that book, we need to understand that everything that we need to know is contained in that book. Okay, go over to John chapter 16 and verse 13. John chapter 16 and verse 13. Okay, so when Jesus was here on this earth, he gave us a lot of revelations. He gave us a lot of truths. He taught us what God was like and how we should live and the things that we should do. But he didn't give us everything. Okay, over there in John, what he's saying is that the Holy Spirit is going to come, and what's he going to do? He's going to complete that revelation. Okay, and so by what we read from what Jesus gave us, and what he directed the Holy Spirit to give us through his apostles, the Bible is a complete revelation. Okay? So when someone comes along today and says, I had a vision, and in that vision God told me, well, wait a minute. little flags ought to be waving and little bells ought to be going off. Wait a minute. That revelation is already complete. Okay? I brought this up out in the jail one day, and somebody want to tell me that they had a revelation. Okay, and I said, well, let's talk about this a minute, And a lot of people don't want to accept that. And I wouldn't question anybody's sincerity as far as what they think happened to them. Okay. But I would question what happened to them. Okay. So we need to make that known that the work is complete. Okay. The second thing that we need to mention here about the Bible is what Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 18. I think that's where it's at, if I'm not mistaken. Matthew 28 and 18. This is back when he was preparing to go back up into the sky.
Jesus spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to you in heaven and earth.
Okay. Where does the authority lie? With Jesus. Okay. That's not with the ecumenical council. It's not with the Pope. Okay. They don't make decisions for how God conducts his business. Okay. The ultimate authority is with Jesus. And what we have here in this written word is what he desired us to know. Okay. And so everything that we need to know is contained right here. In fact, I think Peter said that over in 1 Peter 3. I'll probably tell you wrong, so I won't even tell you. But he says, God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. It's contained in these scriptures. Okay? If you look where I told you, it's probably not there because I always remember. I have to look them up. Okay, but the scripture is there. So when we think about the idea of authority, all authority was spoken through Christ or through his apostles and his prophets. Okay. Now, we have a famous saying that came back during the Restoration where someone, and I don't know who said it, you might know, says, speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent. What do we mean by that? Yeah. Have you ever had anybody come up to you and say, well, where in the Bible does it tell us not to do this? Have you ever, you know, whatever it is they're asking. Have you ever had them ask you that question? We're asking the wrong question, aren't we? Because there's all kinds of things we could apply that to, because there's a lot of things that the Bible doesn't specify, don't do this. Okay. The proper question to ask would be what? What does it tell us to do? Okay, that's what we need to be thinking about. Okay, so that's what we need to spend our time studying is what does the Bible say? Not what it doesn't say, because there's a lot of things it doesn't condemn, but by association, we can find out that those are not proper things to do. Okay, so we talked a little bit about perfection. We talked a little bit about authority. We need to talk a little bit about the power of the Word. Romans chapter 1, verse, 16? Did I get that one right? Let me look at my notes. I don't know that I wrote it down. That's the one. Okay. What does it say?
For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek.
Okay. So what is, he mentioned the gospel here. Okay. What is it? It's God's power to do what?
Salvation.
For salvation. The story of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that's what it's all about. Okay. Everything else, you know, is kind of icing on the cake. But you got to get that down first, because that's the basis of everything. So the scripture, the Bible, is God's power. Okay. That's how he deals with man. It tells us about how the world came into existence. It tells us about how God expects man to live. It tells us what is acceptable and what's unacceptable. Okay? And so those are the things that we need to know. And it tells us how to be forgiven of our sins. So that's the things that we need. Okay? The other thing that we need to mention here is the fact that about the, it's, is this a proper word? Intelligibility? Okay? Have you ever had anybody say, well, I just can't understand the Bible? You know, I've tried to read it and I just can't understand it. Okay? What's wrong with that statement?
Somebody told me that it's on a third grade level. So I don't know.
Okay? Well, you're not just going to pick it up and read it and say, you know, it's going to take some thought. You know, it's going to take some understanding. It does take time, okay? But the reality is that everyone is capable of understanding. That's one of the problems we got into back in the Dark Ages, was that the Roman Catholic Church took the Bible away from the people and said, you're not capable of understanding this. We'll tell you what you need to know. You know, you need to be educated. You need to have a degree, so on and so forth. And I'm not saying that it's not good to have a biblical education. That's okay. You know, that, in fact, that's a good thing to do. But you don't have to have a PhD in theology in order to understand the scriptures. Well, that's good. That's good. Okay. In this world in which we live today, we're at a great advantage. I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not. Okay. How many translations of the Bible can you think there are in the English language? I don't know how many there are. I think more like 100 or something. I don't know. But what we're saying is that there are numerous translations of the Bible. Now, granted, some of them are a little sketchy in some areas. Okay. So I'm not saying that, you know, you don't need to know about those areas. I think, was it the NIV? Oh, which one was it that said?
Good News for Modern Man.
Good News for Modern Man. Okay, that's one of the translations that came out that referred to the Virgin Mary as a young girl. Okay, and they didn't lie because she was, but they left out the meaning of the word there, that she was a virgin. Okay, so we need to understand those things. When your knowledge is good, you can understand. What I'm saying is any of these translations can give you the knowledge that you need to know in order to be able to accept Christ as your Savior. Okay? And what you need to do, what is the wise thing to do, is when you read one translation, you go, let's check that out. And you pick up another translation and read that, and maybe even a third. And by reading all of those and comparing them, you can understand, you know, what the actual translation is. Okay? That's going to require a little time. It's going to require a little reading, a little thought. But with all the translations we've got, if you read enough of them, you can basically understand what God was trying to get across to you. Okay? And that doesn't require, a college degree or a PhD. So everybody can understand it. And that's the way it's written. Okay? So it's everyone is capable of understanding the scriptures. Okay? All right? So with those ideas in mind, let's go on and move on a little bit. And as I said here, these are just some suggestions, okay, about how to study the Bible, okay, or what we can do to study the Bible. Now, I would encourage everyone, as often as possible, to read through the Bible from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation. If you can't do it every year, you know, at least every other year or so, there are a lot of study plans that they print out. If you read this many this day and this many this day, you can read the Bible through in a year's time. Get you one of those. And I'm not saying you have to do it in a year. If it takes 2 years or whatever, do it. It's capable of being read in much less time than that, but, you know, just do it, because simply reading the Word, you know, will give you some understanding. But if you really want to be a good Bible student, then you need to do some study also. Okay? All right. So here's the first suggestion. You're going to need to pick a time and a place where you can do regular Bible study. Okay? Now, it's in this day and time, it's not always easy to do because of our busy schedules. But if I don't say to myself, I'm going to take some time in order that I can study God's Word. Okay? Now, it might get altered a little bit. I might not have time when I normally like to. I'll move it to this time, whatever. But if you don't say, I'm going to do it, you probably never will. Okay? Now, I'm going to be the first to admit, I don't have a structured time where I set a time 30 minutes every day at 1 o'clock I'm going to sit down and study. I don't have that. Okay? But it's not a bad idea, because if I shoot for that, okay, then I'll get it done. The second thing is don't select an hour or 2 hours, okay, because if you do, you're going to burn out. Okay. Just take 30 minutes. Just take 30 minutes. Okay. And that way, it doesn't take a lot of your time. Okay. But you get the idea that this is my time and I'm going to devote this to study the Bible. Okay. And if it gets altered a little bit, you know, that's the way it does. If that doesn't work for you, then do it some other way. This is just a suggestion, okay? Now, the second thing I'm going to say is that you need the right tools in order to study the Scripture. All right, what are some tools you can think of?
Concordance.
Okay, a concordance. What is a concordance? If you look in the back of your Bible, most Bibles have a abbreviated concordance in the back. Okay, what does that do? What does a concordance do?
I'm looking for a specific word.
Yes.
And I can look up that word and find out where the scriptures are that contain it.
They basically take every word in the Bible and they'll tell you every scripture where that word occurs. And it's kind of a reference for you that if you key in on a word and you'll say, oh, where's that scripture at? You go look for that word and it'll tell you all the places where that word occurs. Okay, and then you can go and look it up. Now, one of the problems we have is that with all the modern day translations, some people don't use the same word, you know, all the time. So, that's something you might have to deal with. So you need a concordance because that will help you to find a scripture a lot better. Okay, what's something else you're going to need? Things like, a Bible dictionary, okay?
She's saying
encyclopedia, they're kind of the same thing because what a dictionary is, it'll take these words, okay? In other words, let's say, let's pick the word Pharisee, okay? I want to study Pharisee. If I had a concordance, I go find that word Pharisee and it would tell me everywhere in the scripture where that word Pharisee comes up, okay? If I pull out my Bible dictionary and look up the word Pharisee, what's it going to give me? It's going to give me an idea of where that sect came from, okay, what they believed, what they taught, okay, so I'll get a little better understanding of those things, okay? So I need a good, I'd say a Bible dictionary, basically, okay? What else am I going to need?
A map.
Maps are good. Most Bibles are full of maps, a lot of them are. So I like to look, especially when I'm studying about Paul's missionary journeys. You know, I get lost at where all those places were, but if you follow that map, you go, oh, that's where he went. You know, it's interesting. Okay. So maps are good, but they're not necessary, but they're good. What about what you're holding in your hand there? Yeah. Yeah. How are you going to study the Bible if you don't have a Bible? Okay. All right. Okay. And yeah. Well, and see, that's something we need to think about. That's something we need to think about. You need to have different translations because it's always good to go and compare what the different translations say. Because, you know, when I read the King James, I scratch my head and go, what? What did that guy say, you know? Okay. But I go over and read the New King James. Same thing, but they use a few different words, okay? Everybody has different ideas about what's their favorite translation or which one speaks to them best, okay? And that's why I'm saying compare multiple translations, okay? Because that's what you need to do, all right? You need also to have a good English dictionary, okay? And it's not as important as the others, but it will give you some ideas because words change over the years, the meaning sometimes, and it'll give you a comparison of what that word means today and maybe what it meant a long time ago, okay? All right. Are we together? All right. Now, let me mention commentaries, okay? What's the bad thing about commentaries as far as study is concerned?
Somebody, a person's
thoughts. All right. You're reading someone's comments about what they believe that scripture said. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, okay? But I think it would be better for us to get our own idea of what we think it says. And I'm not anti-commentary. I use them all the time. I've got several, and I like to look at them. But I compare what they all say, and they don't all say the same thing. Okay? So we need to understand who's saying what's right. It's very interesting to me that When we were in school, we had a study guy that we had to use all the time. It was called Linsky. He was a great Greek scholar, and he wrote several books, and I've got some of his commentaries at home. But he was a Presbyterian, okay? And boy, he would give you the word, and he'd give you the background of the word, and he would give you the meaning of the word. And then all of a sudden, he'd be talking about Presbyterian doctrine, and you'd go, what? Where did that come from? You know, but he was Presbyterian all the way, and he would jump from what was truth to what he thought was true. Okay. And what I'm saying is, that's what commentaries are. Okay. And so we need to be very careful about using commentary. And commentaries are good. That's me. Okay. Commentaries are good, but just remember you're dealing with people's ideas of what they think that passage says. Okay. So compare those also. Okay. Can you think of any other tool you might use? These are the ones I think are important. Haley's Bible Handbook, yeah. It's kind of a Reader's Digest type thing that gives you a quick reference that they're good. A Bible Atlas. Bible Atlas, they have maps in there where they show you where everything took place. They have geography in there, so you can see the terrain today and what it used to be. They've even got overlays where you can see where, when the 12 tribes came in and occupied Canaan, you know, what it looked like and then what it looks like today. They're good. Okay, they're good, but they're not necessary in order to understand God's
also,
word.
Also, it would give customs. Like
yes. Customs and so forth. Yeah, those are all good. Those are all good. Okay? All right. Do what? Yeah. Yeah. Those are good too. And there's all kinds of things that you can use to help you. Okay. All right. All right. The next thing is the fact that we need to have a system by which we study. Now, in my younger days, I used to think that when I get ready to read the Bible, I would take it and I would say, okay, God, what do you want me to read today? Boom. All right, here we go. And so I would say, God's going to pick this for me, you know. Well, you're going to learn quick that didn't happen. Okay. Yeah, might fall off in the same place every time. Yeah, yeah. Somebody used to tell a story about a preacher that his son went off to college, and unbeknownst to him, he tucked some money into the Bible under a certain scripture, and when he got there, he put that Bible on the shelf and he never took it down. Okay, and his father would quiz him all the time about certain things, you know. And finally one day, for some reason, he said something that made him open that Bible to that scripture, and there was that money, you know. And had he been doing what he should have been done, he'd have found that a long time sooner than that. Well, his dad was trying to teach him a lesson, you know. I thought that was a good lesson. So yeah. But the idea is there's a lot of treasure in there for us, okay. So you need to have a system by which you study the Bible. Now, whatever the system is, you may have your own system, okay. It doesn't matter. You just need to pick a way that you want to do it and then stick to it. Now, I'm going to give you one. I'm going to give you two or three here. And as I said, there's lots of different ones. You can pick what you want. This one is called the 5R method. Okay? And here's what you do. First of all, you read. You read a particular passage of Scripture. You don't just read it once, you read it from several different translations. Okay? That same passage of Scripture. Okay? That way you'll get an idea in your mind of what that passage is saying to you. Okay? The second R is you reflect upon it. Okay? What do I mean by reflect upon it?
But she does to meditate.
Okay? So meditate or think about it, you know. Pick out key words, you know, that maybe you think the guy's trying to get across. You know, key ideas, maybe some characters in there that you might need to know a little bit more about. Okay? So you're going to read it, then you're going to reflect on it, and then you're going to repeat it. And this is where a little notepad and pencil comes in sometime. Okay? By repeating it, what I do is, like I said, those key ideas that we see, I want to write those things down. Okay? Why would I write it down? Yeah. It I guarantee you, it does me, because I've read through this material 4 or 5 times and I've still got my notes up here, because, you know, you don't remember everything. I got to go back and look at what I wrote down sometimes. But it just implants it on your mind, I'll say. Okay? So you reflect upon it. You write those things down. Maybe an idea, maybe a character, maybe a particular scripture that you liked. Okay? So then reflect on it. Okay? Recite it. I hate memory work. I hate it with a passion. In school, when they told you, you take this home and memorize it, I'd do the best I could, but boy, as soon as I got it out of my, that was it. I couldn't remember any of those things, okay? And I hated it, okay? But look, it's not bad to be able to quote some scriptures, okay? Especially those that mean things to you, okay? So as you're going along and you see a passage and you say, oh, Bob preached about that Sunday morning, you know, so let's commit that to memory, okay? I still can't quote all of Ephesians 3 there, but I think I'm getting it down pretty good. You keep on and I'll get it before it's over with. Okay. But, you know, those ideas are things that we need to know. Okay. So commit some things to remember. And then the last thing is to request. And I'm talking about prayer. Okay. To ask God to help you in your understanding and remembering what you said. Okay. So what do we say? We said read. The five R's. Read, reflect, repeat, recite, and request. Okay. I had to go look because I couldn't remember what all of them were. Okay. So see, this is one way of studying the Bible. You just pick a passage. Okay. Maybe a passage that's important to you, or maybe a passage that you think I need to know more about. We read it, and then we think about it, you know, and then we do a little bit of study, you know, recite, whatever we do. And then we move on to the next one. Okay? And so that's a good way to study the Bible. We can do that by studying maybe a character. We can maybe do that by studying an idea or a particular passage, but it works for any of those. And so that's up to you how you want to do that. Okay. All right. There are such things as systematic studies. Basically what these are is things like a word study or maybe a character study. You pick one particular word that you want to investigate, maybe the word Pharisee or Sadducee or whatever, and you just, you know, get the concordance and run those references all the way through. Or maybe a particular character. Now, if you're going to do a character, okay, you might want to start with somebody like maybe Cornelius or Aquila and Priscilla, because if you pick Paul or Peter, you're going to be in it for a while, okay? Because there's a lot of information about those characters. So maybe pick someone that's not said about, okay? And once you get used to doing that, then you can move on to the other characters, okay? I think studying things like a background study of King Herod, he was a wicked guy, you know. But those would be good. Even Pharaoh, things like that, and just do a systematic a study on those particular characters would be good for you to do. Okay, there are studies like we talked about by just characters. Okay, pick a different character and do studies on those and follow those through. There's all kinds of things that you can do to study the Word of God. You can do something on a theme, maybe a theme in the Bible, a love, praise, prayer, okay, what? Faith, any of those things, grace, okay, and just do studies on those. That way you're controlling what you study, you're controlling the time. And I said again, just spend 30 minutes. If you want to spend more, that's fine, but don't burn yourself out because that's very easy to do. Okay, there was a story told one time about a lady who was going to read a particular book, and she picked it up and started reading through it, and she said, mm-mm. You ever had that? You know, I've got several books on my shelf that I purchased, and I still, every time I pick them up, I go, no, and I put them down. And so she did that. Well, later on in her life, she fell in love, and she got married, and lo and behold, she found out that the man that she married wrote that book. And guess what she did? Well, see, her interests have changed now, so she went back and read the book and gleaned some good information from it. Okay. What am I saying? You see, her attitude changed. Her attitude changed because now she found out she was in love with the man that wrote the book. Okay. So you see what I'm saying? When we understand what God did for us, we understand that this is His revealed word for us. See, then our attitude changes. And now we want to know a little bit more about what He said for us. Yeah, absolutely. Because now our interest has changed, doesn't it? We want to know more. Okay. So that's what it's important. That's why Bible study is so important. Now, you cannot mature spiritually if we don't grow in our knowledge of the Word. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay. If you're satisfied with where you're at, okay, we've got a problem. And we said this before, because you're either growing or you're dying. No one stays the same. So for you to just say to myself, I'm satisfied with where I'm at, I'm going to stay right here, it's not going to happen. Okay. Because basically, if you're not growing, you're going to fall away. Because if we ignore the Word of God, which helps us to grow, then we're going to be influenced by the sin that tempts us because of our lack of knowledge. Does that make sense? Okay. So just keep that in mind, you know. And let's be a little more diligent about our study of the Word of God. Because it is the most important book you will ever read. Because it's God's revealed word for you. Okay?